What are employers' rights when their business cannot operate due to load shedding? This is Stuff Employers Should Know.
Welcome to Stuff Employers Should Know, proudly brought to you by LabourNet, management's ultimate HR solution.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Barry Gordon-Davis, and there, definitely not being load shed today, is audio producer Yasser Yes-Like-It. I live my life a quarter mile at a time when I can afford the gas, Ismail.
Yeah, and here we thought, you know, using generators might actually help us both with these fuel prices. I don't think we're escaping the load shedding.
It's a double-edged sword, hey?
Yep, pretty much.
And that's the reason for today's topic. We've seen that load shedding, I mean, it's been around now for 15 years, so it's nothing new to South Africans. We know that going into the winter months, there's obviously added pressure on the grid. And we've been having these, I don't know if you can call it unexpected when it happens all the time, even though they cancel load shedding and then reinstate it and all that. But at least one thing that they seem to be doing at this point in time is scheduling it out of traditional working hours. We've seen that they're trying to assist South Africa's economy by really switching off the lights around about 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. But that doesn't mean that all businesses run to traditional working hours. So whether we do have load shedding in terms of a normal schedule that runs during business hours or the traditional business hours, and now we're having it out of traditional hours, the common occurrence is that it affects some or all businesses in one way or another. So a question that gets asked quite often is, you know, if my business, the lights go off or I can't operate anything at all at my business, can I send my staff home?
So Barry, I mean, if employers do end up sending their staff home, does the no work, no pay principle come into effect?
So that's generally the big reason for the question is that if I've got nothing for the staff to do, can I send them home? And then would the no work, no pay principle apply? And unfortunately, no. Unless there is a main agreement that covers the particular industry that implements or where an employer can institute short time, or the short time principle is in a contract of employment with those employees, your traditional contracts that don't contain it means that an employer cannot go and implement. You call it short time effectively by sending employees home, or as you can even call it a load shedding clause. If an employer's contract if an employee's contract doesn't make mention of that, an employer unfortunately is duty bound to provide remuneration.
But then what can South African employers do with load shedding being a reality?
So that's the thing. I mean, load shedding, And I say this tongue-in-cheek, by its nature, is something that is foreseeable because they send out schedules. Whether they stick to the schedules is one thing. However, you know, in comparison to a blackout or a unforeseeable loss of electricity due to, let's say, a substation breakdown or cable theft, which is a reality for us, you know, we could go and schedule our working arrangements around the load shedding schedule and schedule operations around the schedules that then get given to us relating to the different stages of load shedding.
But can that be done unilaterally? I mean, I know you've mentioned possible solution.
Yes. So just like those clauses in a contract or main agreement, unfortunately, the same thing of varying terms and conditions of employment cannot be done unilaterally. So any agreements to vary your conditions of employment, i.e. related to your working hours based on load shedding schedules, would have to be done by agreement or express agreement with the actual individuals, or if they're represented by a trade union through collective agreements and the like. Any agreement that is entered into by either the employees and the employer or the trade union and the employer has to take cognizance of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, specifically for those that fall below the threshold as workers, in that if they work for 4 hours or less, they need to get remunerated for 4 hours, even if they only work less than 4 hours. So coming into work means that they are entitled to 4 hours at least remuneration. So if during a period of time the lights go off and they are sent home, let's say they only provided 2 hours of work, they would still need to be remunerated for 4 hours of work in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. So any policy or agreement or collective agreement in that regard has to take cognizance of the statutes around minimum payments for time.
But now what happens in cases, and I'm pretty sure this is a reality for a lot of employers and employees alike, what happens if you can't reach an agreement with employees and unions alike?
Yeah, now as a last resort, where we've gone and we've explained our situation with the union or the staff themselves, and they then go and refuse to agree to such a clause. Because, I mean, obviously, it's very hard to schedule one's life. They might have valid reasons why not, or they might just have a blanket refusal around the circumstances. If an employer is then pushed against the fence, so to say, in that regard, and it has, and they have a genuine operational distress or reasons to amend the operational terms and conditions, they would then unfortunately have to embark through a formal restructuring or retrenchment process to amend those terms and conditions, or to offer the variable structure as an alternative to a retrenchment or restructure in terms of sections 189 and 189A, whichever one is applicable in terms of the Labor Relations Act.
Thanks for that very insightful information on how employers and employees alike can obviously deal with load shedding. And we hope to all our listeners that your load shedding schedule can be as short as this episode.
Well, we had to keep this episode short because you never know when the lights are going to go off. So while we had the lights on, let's do it as quickly as possible. Get in there, get out there with those questions, and then, head for the heels or the generators. But on that note from Yasser and myself, as always, if you want to get in touch, if you have any follow-up questions on anything that we've discussed today, drop us a mail at sesk@labornet.com. We read all those mails and we generally respond to everybody directly, if not through an episode on listener mail around a specific topic. But also, hit us up on all the social media accounts. We're out on all of them, as well as listening to the podcast on any podcasting platform. Please subscribe, hit that like button. It really helps a lot in us developing the show. So from myself and Yas in a very gonna be dark studio, till the next episode, cheers.
Staff Employers Should Know was proudly brought to you by LabourNet, management's ultimate HR solution. For more episodes from Staff Employers Should Know, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you play your favorite shows. Case law or statutes referenced in the podcast are current at the time of recording.